Alright, welcome everybody. On a Tuesday, Trash Talk with Tony Braska is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got Grant Richards of Talasawa with me. Gentlemen, hello. Thanks for stopping by. I hope all is well. Before we get into the show this week, I would like to quickly thank the sponsor of this week's episode. This week's episode of Trash Talk is sponsored by Michigan-based Roast Number Coffee. Visit the website roastnumber.com. If you do make an order, maybe for the Nitro Cold Brew or the Whole Bean Ground Coffee, both really, really good, be sure to use my coupon code TONYD to save yourself 20% off. Capital T, capital D, no spaces. Thank you very much, Roast Number. All right, Grant, Tyler, let's get the show rolling this week, and let's begin, as always, with the introductions. I want to start with Tyler this week. We'll save Grant for last. Tyler.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm great.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today. A day removed from Matthew Stafford officially heading to the Super Bowl hosted in SoFi Stadium.
Ooh. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that today. But here's what I want to talk with you a little bit to begin the show. I was going to ask Jay this, but unfortunately he wasn't able to make it this week. He may or may not join us later in the program, but to start the show, he won't be here. So I want to ask you about Tom Brady's quote-unquote retirement. I mean, the news broke over the weekend that he's retiring, and then there's a bunch of, you know, other reports saying, like, oh, no, he hasn't made a decision yet. But, I don't know, it kind of feels like we're going in the direction of he's still going to retire. He just wanted to be the one to break the news. He might just be a little mad right now because all these other people broke the news before him. But what's your quick thoughts on that? Because we did talk about that a little bit last week, and I said I need to see it to believe it, and you said that you felt like he was done. So as we sit here today and it does in fact look like that he is done, what was your reaction to the news? All right, hello everybody. This is Tony in post-production. I am currently recording this after the initial recording for the week with Tyler and Grant. I'm just by myself right now. First of all, I hope you are all enjoying this week's episode so far. I just want to come on here really quickly in post-production and put this into this week's episode. Consistent listeners of the program will know what we do for the recordings of this podcast. We usually record on Monday nights and upload on Tuesdays. That's what we did this week. And I quickly want to mention that because on Monday night when we initially did the recording, it was potential retirement for Tom Brady. It wasn't official yet. Well, on Tuesday morning, as I'm sure most of you are already aware, Tom Brady officially announced his retirement. So it's no longer potential retirement like it was on Monday night when we recorded. It's now official retirement for Tom Brady. So I just quickly wanted to come on here and put this into this week's episode. That's no longer potential retirement. Obviously, it's now official for Tom Brady retiring from the NFL. Just wanted to mention that really quickly so people don't listen to this and think, oh, Tony, he actually retired. We know that now. We didn't know on Monday night, but we do know now on Tuesday. So without further ado, let's get right back into your regularly scheduled program.
Even though I expected there was still like that shock, like, wow, Tom Brady's actually going to retire. And I think it'll like hit me more when we start the NFL season in 2022 and like he's not there anymore, he's not playing for a team, and I think that's when it's really gonna hit. It's kind of like, I think that's like when it really hits me for like any big sports news, like when Matthew Stafford got traded to the Rams. Like, it really hit me when Stafford wasn't the quarterback in training camp for the Lions. Like, he's in LA now. Like, that's when it really like sunk in, and I think that's when it's really gonna sink in for me with Tom Brady. It's like, we're not gonna see him in an NFL uniform in 2022. Supposedly, that's what the reports are looking like. I know he said he hasn't officially retired. I think he's pretty much done. I think, like you said, the news was just kind of stolen from him by the media. And
yeah,
I think, you know, he's just a little salty about that, which is understandable.
He has the right to break the news on his terms.
Yeah, no, that's understandable why he's, you know, upset about it. But I think it's, you know, he's pretty much done at this point. It's kind of stalling at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a shock, definitely, you know, an absolute stellar career, which is an understatement because the man had like three Hall of Fame careers in just one guy, which is absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, it's a guy that, you know, we grew up watching. I know you're not a fan of him, but and I wouldn't even consider myself a Tom Brady fan, but, like, I just respect of how good of a player he was and how good of a teammate he was, you know, the mentality that he brought in every single game, every single year. I mean, all I have is respect for Tom Brady, and like I said, it's going to really sink in when I don't see him in a different uniform, and he's just not in the NFL next year.
I think it says something that Schefter, Darlington, and Rappaport, who all broke the news, they're not backing down from what they reported.
No.
You know, after all this backlash of like, oh, he hasn't made a decision yet. Like, the three of them, none of them came out and said, yeah, I kind of jumped the gun there, my bad. They didn't do that. Like, they're sticking to what they reported. So it does seem like that Brady's actually going to retire. Like I said, Brady probably just wanted to announce on his own terms, which he has the right to do that. And he's probably just a little mad. I mean, I would be mad, too, if I was him, to be fair. But, yeah, it definitely does seem like this is the end for him. And listen, I was never Brady's biggest fan, but, you know, I do agree with you, Tyler, that, I mean, I always respect greatness. I'm always going to respect Tom Brady for everything that he did in this league. But I'll also say this. When I think of Tom Brady, I'm also going to think about how his last game was a playoff loss at home to Matthew Stafford.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, if it was anyone other but Stafford, I would be calling you a hater right now. But since it's Matthew Stafford, I'm absolutely on the same trade right now. I'm like, I'm on this high right now. So I can't call you out for that.
I'm going to tell future generations down the line. Yeah, Tom Brady, he was great and all. But I got to witness his final game, a loss to Matthew Stafford.
That's a great trivia question down the line.
Who did Tom Brady lose to in his final game? John Matthew Stafford. Ding, ding, ding. That's the correct answer.
So I actually came up with something. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but if Rodgers retires and Brady retires, which it looks like it's going to happen, Brady's last loss is to Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers' last road loss is to the Detroit Lions. So there's another trivia question for you. Another fun fact, I guess.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. But other than that, Tyler, you're doing good today?
I'm doing good. But, yeah, just to go on to the Brady thing really quickly too, man, like with him retiring and like potentially looking at Aaron Rodgers leaving the NFC, like the NFC is like wide open right now. Like anybody could win this thing, I think, at this point, like coming into next year. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of roster movement, but – man, the NFC just lost, like, potentially two really, really generational elite of the elite quarterbacks. And that's just, you know, that's insane to think about. But overall, I'm doing great. It gives me hope for the Lions.
It's a good time for the Lions to be trying to come out of that rebuild, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you're taking out two generational quarterbacks. You know, division opening up potentially. I mean,
ooh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to see the Aaron Rodgers.
Well, don't tell the Chicago Bears because their GM today on Monday said that they're going to take the North and not give it back. Yeah, okay, we'll see about that.
But yeah, I'm doing absolutely great. It's been a great Monday. Matthew Stafford's heading to the Super Bowl.
Tyler's having a great Monday. Let's see how the Vegas Patriots fan is feeling. Oh, Grant Richards. Hi, Grant. I know you're going to try to be positive about those hires, and you should be. You absolutely should be. I'm not here to kind of poop on your party, but we saw here in Detroit how the Patriot way worked out. And I don't know how many times these teams need to see the Patriot way fail before they go, maybe we shouldn't hire these Patriot guys. And don't get me wrong, maybe Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels will be the ones to turn that narrative around. But...
Tony, did you say it with a straight face?
I hope it works out for Grant's sake, but I
all right, Tony. All right, Tony.
Grant, Tyler, am I wrong to kind of have questions?
Tony, you said you weren't here to poop on my parade, but here you are and have been ever since the hiring.
Do you blame me? Tyler, do you blame me?
Absolutely not. I'm more intrigued to see who's the defensive coordinator hire.
Dude, if it's not Gus Bradley, I don't know what they're doing. I liked the progress they were making. I didn't think he was that bad. But just wanted. Oh God, I know what you're hinting at with that. I will renounce the Raiders if Matt Patricia comes to Vegas, dude. I'll find a new team, and I say that, but I don't mean it. But anyway, total positivity.
So give me your thoughts on the hires really quickly.
nothing officially bad has happened yet. Secondly, if we recall in Josh McDaniels' storied past, he at one point had the job opening for the Indianapolis Colts and turned it down. You know what other coach, what other Patriots coach had a job opening, had the job, and then turned it down? A little guy named Bill Belichick. So first things first, jot that down. That's all I'm saying. We're being incredibly positive because my mental sanity cannot withstand 7-8 months of just what I know is going to be not great things. I'm absolutely horrified by the hire. I didn't like blowing up the beautiful locker room established by Coach Rich. Yeah, man, I'm going to be as positive as I possibly can. And once we start seeing some roster moves and front office signings, we can kind of decide from there. But Josh McDaniels has zero losses as head coach for the Silver and Black, and that is the narrative I'm pushing. And while I have the floor, I would just like to say nothing made me happier this weekend than you know what? Nothing made me happier than watching Patrick Mahomes. Going home, head in his hands after winning the coin toss in overtime. It doesn't get better than that. And what's her name? Brittany, whatever, spraying fans with champagne after a division round win and then losing. Oh, man. It doesn't get better than that. That's all. I mean, I just wanted to get out in front of the Raiders narrative that I will be painfully positive until I can't be.
Grant, let them know your actual thoughts real quickly that you are not in favor of this move, though.
Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning, and I have the text to prove it. I saw what happened in Detroit with Patricia. All right, like I think we obviously all did, and we've seen. I mean, if you can just look back through Bill Belichick's former assistants as head coaches, it's not good.
None of them are still very coaching.
None of them. Well, Brian Flores. Oh, I guess he just got fired. Take that.
He shouldn't have been. He's the only one that's actually worked out, and Miami fired him for whatever reason. But
I mean, he did start the season like 0-7.
Well, I mean, Brian did not deserve to get fired. Brian is the one exception where I think is a really good head coach. I still don't know why Miami did that, but that's neither here nor there. Outside of Brian Flores, who may or may not get another head coaching job this offseason, none of them are still coaching. And none of them really worked out either.
Right, exactly. It's not the Patriot way. It has never been the Patriot way. That's air quotes for you. It's the Bill Belichick way, and there's only one Bill Belichick. Stop saying, like, just because he's a good coach doesn't mean he can coach coaches. He can coach players. He can cheat every once in a while. And he can win Super Bowls with Tom Brady. It's not, like, I don't know why we started this Patriot way. It's just, like, I don't know, man. It's frustrating and it's horrifying and every day is Sunday scaries. It's just I was never on board with the hire. He didn't crack my top five. I don't know, man. But hey, painfully positive from here on out.
It's good that you're positive. Me and Tyler are positive with Patricia and Quinn from the beginning, but yeah.
But that was like legit, like. I mean, Grant's trying to look at the good side right now, but like I was actually legitimately excited. Grant, like,
oh yeah, me too.
Grant's like trying to. Grant is being optimistic right now, but like,
Grant is terrified behind the door.
Grant is terrified. Yeah,
like, that's what I say. Like deep down inside, though, I could feel that sense. And he's told us that like he's not in favor of Josh McDaniels. Like I actually wanted Patricia's. Like he was one of my top three candidates. So I think it's a little different. Mm-hmm. So how I was feeling compared to what Grant's feeling right now with McDaniels.
Yeah, no, we're on the door of the 2022-23 NFL season, and I see the hammer behind the door. It's coming. When I open it, it's like mousetrap, and I get smacked in the face. So I'm getting out in front of that by being not sarcastically, but like tongue-in-cheek positive.
I get it. You want to be positive about your team. You don't want to come into a season negative because it's just not fun at that point. So yeah. I understand.
Grant, I wish you luck.
Wish you luck, brother.
I wish you luck. I've seen how this goes, man. Oh, no. But anyway, getting off of that topic, one last thing for Grant's introduction. Tyler, take it away.
How was your sports betting this weekend?
We were pretty not great during the week. A lot of NHL bets missing, which are usually my bread and butter. And I'm going to be honest, I made two pretty astronomical bets at the Wings game on Saturday night.
They hit?
And they both hit. So we finished up by $1 again, but that is finishing
that's
up.
And that's
that is
up.
That is with a bet on Sunday.
Mm.
So it's not like I just said, okay, we made it, but we took another chance. And there we are. We have a week of winning weeks now.
Ooh,
seven in a row.
Could I put Grant on blast, though? Grant,
oh, no.
Go ahead.
Grant, when the score was 4-2 Red Wings favor, he goes 4-2 with the eyeball emojis.
It was Toronto, so early in the game, man.
The Toronto Maple Leafs joke. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
They scored not one unanswered, not two unanswered, not three, not four, but five unanswered.
Five unanswered goals since Grant sent that text.
All right, I do just want to say that was in the second period. I knew 4-2 wasn't hitting, but I have to dream, man. It's due.
When I saw the eyeballs emoji 4-2,
I knew we were losing that game. I didn't think it'd be 7-4, but I knew we were going to lose that game for sure.
Oh man, five unanswered goals.
My bad
on that one.
Yeah, that game was pretty for sure. But at least you finished up. Who cares if it was only $1? You finished up, and that's all that matters.
Speaking of that, Tony, how was our sports betting week? How was your sports
betting week? I didn't win a penny this weekend. Saturday and then Championship Sunday did not go very well. Championship Sunday, I took the Rams -3.5 and the Chiefs -7. Both did not hit, but both of the teams I wanted to win still won, so there is that. But despite not winning anything over the weekend, Monday through Friday, we were doing very well. And because of that, we finished up by $2 and made it a ninth straight winning week. How ironic is it that number 9 goes to the Super Bowl and I just got my ninth straight winning sports betting week?
Also, your boy Joe Burrow wears number 9, doesn't he?
Joe Burr.
He's number 9 too.
Joey. If I can just jump in here, I just want to say Tony had probably one of the best 5-day stretches of NHL betting I've ever seen.
Monday through Friday.
Dude, it was unreal. Just card after card of green. I was like, my goodness. Normally, we're kind of in the same vein, but Tony was just couldn't miss.
Let's make it 10 straight winning weeks this week, Grant. Let's make it 8 for you. Let's go. All right, gentlemen. Good to have you two in here on the show this week. Let's get started. Now, obviously, everyone knows what we're talking about today. It's going to be all Super Bowl talk and Championship Sunday talk today. Rams, Stafford, Bengals, Burrow. That's all we're talking about today. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Now, for me, I do want to talk a little bit of Joe Burrow and the Bengals later on here. We do have to give them a little bit of love. But let me say this to start regarding Matthew Stafford and the Rams moving on to the Super Bowl. I hate to do the whole I told you so thing again because I did that after the Cardinals game. I did that after the Bucs game, and I'm probably going to do it after the Super Bowl if the Rams end up winning, which they are favored to win, by the way. I don't want to do the I told you so thing again, but I feel like I should do it again. Because, listen, I've mentioned this time and time again on this show. I've spent years defending Matthew Stafford. Years! From the people who were telling me, oh, he was the problem here. He can't win the big games. You can never win with him, period. He's not going to win in LA, blah, 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 blah. In his first season away from Detroit, his first season, 12-win regular season, three playoff wins, an NFC championship, and now he's going to the Super Bowl. In his first season away from Detroit. And speaking of that, by the way, I've had some people tell me, and I've seen other people talk about this on Twitter too. You know, there's people saying like, all this anti-Detroit talk, I'm getting tired of it. Are you going to act like it's not deserved? And this isn't a shot at the people currently running things right now. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, even Sheila Fordhamp. Like, the good news for Lion fans is that I think we're going in a good direction right now. But for the people who were previously in charge, are you going to act like all this anti-Detroit talk is not deserved? It is deserved. We wasted Matthew Stafford here. We wasted Calvin and Barry. We wasted all of them here. Like, all this anti-Detroit talk, especially right now for Matthew Stafford, it's absolutely deserved. You might not want to hear it, but yeah, Matthew Stafford, his first season away from Detroit's going to the frickin' Super Bowl. And he's a favorite right now to win it. He's also the favorite to win Super Bowl MVP, by the way, too. But listen, going back to, you know, Stafford moving on to the Super Bowl, though, I do want to say this as well. The NFC Championship game and also the win in Tampa Bay, those two games specifically, that is why the Rams trade for Matthew Stafford. The Rams trade for Matthew Stafford for moments in games like that and to take them to the next level. And that's what Stafford has done. And he has delivered in spots where Jared Goff couldn't. Not a shot at our current quarterback, Jared Goff. Not at all. But that's why they trade for Matthew Stafford, to deliver in moments like that. Against Tampa Bay, they're not winning that game with Jared Goff at quarterback. In the NFC Championship game, Jared Goff is not coming back to win that game. No way. Down 10 the fourth quarter? No way Jared Goff's winning that game. Matthew Stafford is the reason the Rams are in the spot they're in right now. One win away from the Super Bowl. It's because of Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford won the Rams that game in Tampa Bay. And while the Rams defense deserves a lot of credit for making plays late and pitching a shutout in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, Matthew Stafford was also a big reason why the Rams made that comeback on Sunday. Matthew Stafford is not only proving that you can win these types of games with him as your quarterback, but he is also proving that you can win these games because of him. And that's what we have always been saying about Matthew Stafford. That's what people like me and Tyler and Eli and all these Stafford defenders, that's what we have always been saying about him. You can not only win these types of games with him as your quarterback, but you can win them because of him. And that's exactly what has happened with the Rams this postseason. They've won because of him. Matthew Stafford is one win away from the Super Bowl. I'm so happy for him. And I think most of Detroit is too. So I want to mention that with Stafford and the Rams. But I also want to mention this really quickly with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, because we got to show them a little bit of love here too. You know, first of all, I'll say this. This is going to be a really, really enjoyable game. It's two likable teams. Bengals, Rams, Burrow, Stafford. You got guys on these two teams like Jamar Chase, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, OBJ, Cooper Kupp. Just a lot of fan favorite players across the league. Sean McVay versus Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor used to be Sean's OC a couple years ago, so there's a little bit of a storyline there. This is going to be a really, really enjoyable game. It's fresh. It's really, really fresh. You know, Mike, in our group chat on Sunday night, he made the comparison to the NBA Finals from this past year, the Bucks and the Suns. That was fresh. It was two new teams. And it feels very similar for the Super Bowl matchup between the Rams and the Bengals. It's just really, really fresh. No Brady, no Aaron Rodgers, no Patrick Mahomes, no Chiefs, no Patriots, no Bucks, no Packers. It's two fresh, likable teams. It's going to be an enjoyable, fun game. It might be stressful for us, but it's going to be a really, really fun and enjoyable game. It's refreshing for sure to see two new, enjoyable, likable teams in there. So I'll say that, but I also want to give a shout out to Joe Burrow and those Cincinnati Bengals. I should apologize to them too, because on the show last week, I took the Chiefs. I took them big, and I said, I don't know if the Bengals are going to be ready for this spot. Oh, they were ready. That was an 18-point comeback in Arrowhead. And they outscored the Chiefs, again, in Arrowhead, 24-3. They outscored them 24-3 from the two-minute warning in the first half. In the AFC Championship game, you got to give the Bengals a hell of a lot of credit for being in this spot. And Joe Burrow, man, we are currently seeing a star being born. He's in his second year, man. His second year. He's coming off a major injury last year. His second season in the NFL, he's already in the Super Bowl. And if the MVP wasn't a regular season award, I'd be saying, I think Joe Burrow deserves a lot of MVP votes. We are seeing a star being born in Joe Burrow. You gotta give Joe Burrow and those Bengals a lot of credit, man. And again, this game between the Bengals and the Rams, it's fresh. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. With that, let's go to Tyler Sawa first. Tyler, You could talk Rams and Stafford. You could talk Burrow and Bengals. Just give me your reaction right now after Championship Sunday heading into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not going to play as much as I told you so, because I feel like we've done a lot of that, like in the, you know, last...
We have, but yeah. it's still sweet. Yeah, it's still deserved.
Absolutely, but he's here at this point. I mean, Stafford has proved absolutely everything almost at this point. The only thing he's missing now is a Super Bowl to crown it off, but, I mean, yeah, it's just like I said, I've been saying it's like, I love seeing Stafford succeed, but then, like, when I think about it, it's like, dude, we had this guy on our team for 12 freaking years, and you just couldn't even build, you know, a good enough team, a good enough staff to support him, which I don't want to go into the past too much, but just absolutely unbelievable. And like you said, it's deserved from the organization perspective. Like, they deserve all this backlash that they're getting right now. They didn't put the right people and helm to, you know, succeed for Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford has shown in 1 year, if you put him in around in a competent, you know, staff, you know, competent front office, that they could win. He is one game away from winning the Super Bowl. He's playing in the Super Bowl. 1 year out, removed from Detroit. You had this guy for 12 years and you couldn't do one playoff game. Couldn't win one division title. It's just, I don't know, man. It's absolutely unbelievable. But, again, it's not a shot to the guys you have currently in office right now with Campbell and Holmes. Hopefully that, you know, they're the guys that could flip this narrative around and, you know, just change this terrible pass that the Detroit Lions have. But, yeah, congratulations to number 9, QB9, Matthew Stafford, getting over that hump, you know, winning 3 playoff games, going to the Super Bowl, having an opportunity to win the Super Bowl and hosting at your home stadium, even though you have no fan base. But congratulations.
There's more fans here than there is in LA.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And congratulations to QB9, man. It's just, I'm happy for the dude. Like, we mentioned it, dude. Like, he did so much for the organization, so much for the city of Detroit. It's hard not to cheer for the guy, but it's like, man, you had this guy on your team and you couldn't win with him. But I think what the Rams are doing and what Stafford has proved is quarterback wins are not the only metric to only look at. And it's a very overrated stat. And I almost kind of compare it to baseball, maybe a little skewed, but it's like the win-loss record. Like, people who look at win-loss record, you're not looking at the big picture. Like, a quarterback is obviously the most important position on the football team, but he's not playing cornerback. He's not running the ball. Like, you got to look at the whole team. That's why I hate when people just, you know, put quarterback wins in this, like, holy grail of stats. Like, if your quarterback wins are so high, your quarterback wins are so low, as it's like you are, that's how you are judged. And I kind of hate that, because there is a lot of instances where Jimmy G is, like, if we're going by that, like, Jimmy G is one of the greatest quarterbacks. Like, if we're going by that standard. And Matthew Stafford has proved that. I've had 12 years where he couldn't win one playoff game, and he leaves his first year out. He's in the Super Bowl, and he's elevating a team right now. So it's just a point to quarterback wins. You can't look so deeply and solely on that stat. I think it's just such an overrated stat. Do you look at it? Absolutely. But it shouldn't be the only stat to judge a quarterback. I think it's super overrated, and I think Matthew Stafford is a prime example showing that this year, 1 year removed from Detroit, he's going to the Super Bowl, which he couldn't do this once. Couldn't do this once. A playoff win. Not even a Super Bowl. Just a playoff win. Or a division win. He did all of that in 1 year removed from Detroit, which he spent 12 years of his career here. So that's just, you know, I think Stafford has proved a point to that quarterback stat win, where you got to look at the whole overall team. And he's played absolutely phenomenal. So I like that you brought up Jared Goff, because Jared Goff absolutely is not in the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not to repeat the one of the points that I already made a couple minutes ago, but, like, yeah, no shot at Jared Goff, but that's why the Rams made that trade.
A lot of quarterbacks don't win that game versus Tampa with all the mistakes that the offense made.
No, they don't win those games with Jared Goff at quarterback.
No, I mean, the run game has been invisible for the Rams the last two games. It was really good versus the Cardinals, but it's been invisible for the Rams last two games. And, you know, as far as offensively, Stafford has had to carry the back on his load. Him and, you know, the offensive line and the weapons that they have. they've really had to carry the back because the run game is just not really producing much for them. So that's another point why you bring in Stafford, because Stafford has proved that he could win games without a running game. He's done it 12 years of Detroit. Had, I think, 12 games maybe. Maybe 12 games where he's had 100-yard rusher in a game. In 12 years. Like, that is absolutely terrible. That's an average of one game a year. That's just terrible. And he so that's why you go out and trade for a guy like that. And that's why the Rams are in the position where they are now. He's playing flawless right now. Like, yeah, Stafford has those games, and, you know, he panics sometimes, like if a front four rushes him and, you know, he throws a stupid ball. Like, that no quarterback is perfect. So, like, I don't know what the standard we're looking for. And I think, Tony, you can attest to me with me right here. We love Matthew Stafford, but we've never put him on a pedestal where we've said he's the GOAT. He's the greatest quarterback. We just said he's a very good quarterback that's very underappreciated. And that's what people like to do. It's like, if he's not Aaron Rodgers, if he's not Tom Brady, what is he? It's like, what is the standard that we're looking at for Matthew Stafford? Yeah, he's good enough to win. And is that the most important thing that we should be looking at?
Yeah, we never said that he was a Tom Brady, an Aaron Rodgers, a Patrick Mahomes, so on and so forth. But our main argument as Stafford defenders has always been that he was not the problem here. He's not some bum who you can't win these types of games with. We've always been saying you can win these types of games with Matthew Stafford as your quarterback.
And he could be the reason. Doing. And he could be the reason to win the game. So there's a difference between like being able to win a game and if you're the reason to win the game. Like Jared Goff, Jimmy G, no shot against those guys. They could win games, but the situation has to be almost perfect. Matthew Stafford has that factor, which people never want to give him credit for. He could win the game on his arm. He could win the game with his arm. He has that capability of winning it, and he's proved it this year, and he proved it multiple different times in Detroit that no one wants to even acknowledge.
There's a lot of people who are saying, oh, well, Jared Goff took the Rams to a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford is the reason they are winning these games. Jared Goff was pretty much carried by the talent around him.
Like, Jared was good enough, and he could be a good enough quarterback to win you games, but he's not going to be the reason to elevate your team. And that's the same reason why the Niners are moving off of Jimmy G. Like, Jimmy G has got him far almost every year, but he's not the reason why they're getting that far. And if you have that opportunity to upgrade the position, if you get a quarterback who upgrades from there, that masks so many flaws. And if you have a really good team already, you're, like, talking about the greatest team in the NFL at that point, like, in the league at the moment. And that's what great quarterbacks do. And that's why, absolutely, the Rams go out and trade for Matthew Stafford. Like, Jared Goff, like, he could have been good enough. He could have won you a playoff game this year, sure. But what's the ceiling? Because there's going to come points where you get into games for Tampa where, you know, you have four fumbles, or you're going to get into a game where San Francisco, where you're chilling the game, and you're going to have to really, really count on your quarterback to carry you back. I don't have that trust in Jared Goff or Garoppolo and kind of quarterbacks in that tier as I do in Matthew Stafford's and a couple other quarterbacks that's a very, you know, prestige list to be on. So Stafford is definitely on that list, and he's definitely proved that he should be on that list.
Something that's been kind of nice to see over the past few hours since the Rams won that game and got to the Super Bowl, at least I've seen a lot more anti-Stafford people at this point now going, all right, you know what? I'm going to tip my cap and give respect when it's due. Like, he made it to the Super Bowl. I never thought that was going to happen, you know? Personally, I've seen a lot more people doing that over the past few hours, and that's been really good to see.
I mean, I think the people hating at this point just don't like the guy. And like that, like, if you don't like the guy, that's one thing, but just, like, admit that you don't like him and just move on with your day. If you don't like the guy, don't like the guy, but to say that he's not a good quarterback or he's not good enough, you're just like, you're fooling yourself at that point. Like, you don't want to believe it. It's just like I'll give you an example. Like, I have that strong take of Lamar Jackson is never going to be a quarterback to win, like, you know, big games or go to a Super Bowl. And if Lamar does at some point, like, I'll eat my words. Like, I don't have a problem with eating my words. I think people just don't want to admit they're wrong. And, like, I understand it could be tough admitting that you're wrong, but, like, it's not that serious. Just, like, give the dude credit and move on with your day. You don't have to like the guy. I'm not asking you to like the guy. I'm just asking you to respect the guy and just appreciate of how good of a quarterback he is. That's all I'm asking.
Like I said, it's good to see even some of the anti-Stafford people who were previously like, oh, it's ruining our draft pick. He's not on our team anymore. Why are you rooting for him? it's nice to see those same people now going like, all right, you know what? I'm going to tip my cap when it's due. He's got to the Super Bowl. Good for him.
Yeah. And if you don't care, don't care. I'm not asking you to be the same fan I am right now or the same fan Tony is right now. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying appreciate the guy. He's really good.
If you're still hating at this point and you're still saying like, oh, yeah, he was the problem here. At this point, like you said, Tyler, you're just kind of hating at the at
you just
this
don't
point.
Want to admit you're wrong. You just
yeah,
don't want to admit you're wrong.
That too.
And that's really all it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, but hey, I'm happy. we're both really happy for what's going on with Stafford and the Rams right now. For it to be his first season away from Detroit and he's doing this is unbelievable. Did you think it was going to click this fast for Stafford with McVay and the Rams?
I thought they definitely had a chance. Like, it wasn't my preseason predictions that the Rams would be in the Super Bowl, but like, I'm not shocked by this by any means at all, honestly. So no, I'm not shocked that they're at the Super Bowl right now. This is a good team. He's a good quarterback. They have a good coach. So no, absolutely not shocked right now.
I'm not either, but at the same time, it still doesn't really feel real. If that makes sense.
Yeah, like when you see it in reality compared to talking about it, it's way different. It's just like the Tom Brady thing. It's like when you actually see it and talk about it, it's completely different.
Yeah, it's probably going to feel really real when we're watching the Super Bowl and Stafford comes out that tunnel. Oh,
I'm going to get Mike ready right now if he's listening. Ooh. NBC, ooh. Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call. Ooh. Mike is ready right now.
Mike is running through a wall as we speak. Oh, man. But
and then quick word, Cincinnati, congratulations. Great season. I'm not going to say much about them, but congratulations. Go Rams.
Congratulations, go Rams.
No, I mean, they've had I talked about them, I think, last episode. They had an absolutely killer season, true underdog season. And, you know, if they were playing anyone else but the Rams, I think I'd be cheering for them in this game.
How do you feel about me saying that we're watching a star being born with Joe Burrow?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't disagree right now. There's no disagreement.
Year two, he's in the Super Bowl with a below-average offensive line, mind you. He's coming off a major injury. And, again, like I said, if the MVP wasn't a regular season award, I would say I think Joe Burrow should probably get some votes, if not win the thing.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it, but yeah.
No, he's not going to because it's a regular season award. But I'm saying if the MVP was just, like, playoffs included, playoffs included, I think Joe Burrow would probably be the favorite. It's you too! Like, I want to say this, and I want to get Grant in here too. It is kind of weird seeing, like, all these legendary quarterbacks that we grew up watching now retiring, you know, Brady, Breeze, Big Ben, Philip Rivers. Yeah. All these guys that we grew up watching. It's definitely weird to see them now retiring, but now we're starting to see the new guys kind of establishing themselves as the new faces of the league. And Joe Burrow's doing that as we speak.
We have a great generation of quarterbacks coming. Mahomes, like we've obviously when he could do Josh Allen, Burrow.
Yeah.
Like as much as I like Herbert. To hate on him, but yeah, Herbert, but Lamar's like in that category too. He's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. There's like many other guys that we're definitely missing on right now. If Watson's playing, he's definitely on that list or he's super fun to watch. There's some other guys that we're missing that, you know, definitely crack this list. And then you got the veterans now is like Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, which is absolutely crazy because I remember them being the young ones. And, you know, we looked at the veterans like how we were talking about right now, retiring. But now they're the veterans and we got this whole new generation of quarterbacks coming in. And the NFL's in good hands with quarterbacks, man. There's a lot of good ones.
Especially for a guy like Brady, you know, to see him walk away, you know, again, it's going to be weird. But the league is still in great hands with all the young star quarterbacks that are kind of establishing themselves right now. And Joe Burrow is near the top of that list. He's so good. And me and Jay knew from the beginning.
What he's doing is unreal, man. Second year, bad situation.
Coming off a major injury.
Yeah. And he coming to a bad team. It wasn't like he came into a great situation. It was a bad team. That's a bad Cincinnati team that he came into.
They had the first pick for a reason.
Like, they were at the Senior Bowl with Matt Patricia 2 years ago. They were both the coaching staff. And look at the difference. Patricia's out of a job right now, and Zach Taylor is in the Super Bowl right now. Doesn't it give you hope for Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell who are currently at the Senior Bowl?
It should. It should. Seeing a team like the Bengals flip it around as quick as they did, absolutely it should.
Yeah. San Francisco was one of the teams in the Senior Bowl not too long ago. They made a Super Bowl, made the NFC Championship. Senior Bowl, I mean, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but It's good stuff for the Lions.
The Bengals should give you hope. You know, they're kind of like the Lions from a standpoint of they've kind of had a losing history. To see them turn around the way that they have, it should give you hope for the Lions. And again, things are going in a good direction for the Lions with the current people in charge. But for the old people who were previously in charge, it's fair to criticize them right now.
You had Matthew Stafford. These guys didn't have a quarterback. That was their biggest, like, kryptonite. They couldn't get a quarterback. You had Matthew Stafford. So that's even more embarrassing, in my opinion. But, yeah, that's hopefully we could talk about brighter days soon, because if Holmes and Campbell don't work out, my goodness, this is going to be
let's go ahead and not talk about that.
Let's
go on to Grant. You're done here. Thank you, Tyler.
Turn my mic off.
Grant Richards, obviously you're not a Lions fan, so I'm not going to ask you to, like, give me your full reaction to Stafford making the Super Bowl, but just talk to me about what was an exciting championship Sunday. I mean, both of those games went down to the wire, and now, as I previously said earlier in the episode, we are getting an enjoyable Super Bowl matchup between two new, likable teams.
Yeah, this was my second favorite Super Bowl matchup. It would have been Rams-Raiders, but here we are, man. It is the last real meaningful football game coming down to it with two of the trash-talk favorites. Boys, we really, like, I know it sounds bad, but you got to take it in. Like, take it in now. Because this is, I mean, if you're watching the Pro Bowl.
Great, you know what that means, though. I mean, summertime's coming up, and that means MLB baseball hopefully comes back.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're currently in a lockout.
Don't hold your breath there, champ.
But that's the optimist. That's the other side of things. But yes.
Yeah, we're being positive. We're being positive.
Yes.
No, I mean, it was... Like, other than, remember the first round of the playoffs this year, and everyone was like, wow, these games were pretty bad. Since then, I don't think there's been a game that hasn't ended on the last drive or close to it. Like, this has been a phenomenal, like, what, month, couple weeks of football. And I just hope the Super Bowl follows suit, man. I'm leaning Rams, but I won't be upset if the Raiders lost by 7 to the Super Bowl champs. Yeah, no, it's just been, I hope this game's close. I just hope it's fun. I hope both teams have a great time.
Classic Grant Richards, ladies and gentlemen. I hope both teams have fun.
I do, but I hope the Rams have a little bit more fun. Just two great storylines, potential comeback player of the year versus the wily vet who has a bone to pick with just about everybody in the media. I don't know. I can't say anything else, but it's going to be fun. I do give props to the coaching of the Bengals a little more because Sean McVay scares the heck out of me, man. I don't know what he's doing with these challenges. Like, he could be the deciding factor of the Super Bowl. And I don't know if we need to talk into that anymore because we all kind of saw it, but
I don't think we necessarily need to have that conversation. I saw a stat today about just how much the Rams have won since Sean McVay has taken over. And part of that was with Jared Goff as his quarterback. So, like, I still believe Sean McVay is a top... Tyler, what would you say? Top 3? Top 5 coach in the NFL?
Someone asked me this question. Someone I was talking to thought he's overrated, kind of like what, I don't know if Grant alluded to overrated, but like doesn't, you know, scare.
If Eli was here, I feel like he would probably say that.
Grant would say he's overrated if you have him top 3, top 5.
I like McVay a lot. Honestly.
I like McVay, man. Like,
McVay finds all ways to win. It doesn't matter if he has a run game. Doesn't matter if his, you know, like his run game isn't going. He goes, I'm going to get the passing game going. And he found ways to neutralize the 49ers front four, which he had a tough time with the first two matchups. And that's quick passes with Stafford, getting his guys open, scheming his guys open. I don't know, man. I'm a big fan of McVay. The challenges were bad, but I think he's overall a very good coach. He finds ways to win in any circumstances that he's in. He won with John Wolford a couple years ago, or last year. You know, went to Super Bowl with Jared Goff, had a great running game. And then, you know, this year as well, you know, he finds different ways to win, which I really like about him. He's not like a guy that's just stuck on one game plan, which is something I really like about Sean McVay.
They start winning immediately too with him. Sorry, Grant, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying they started winning immediately after they hired him too.
And I'm not denying that, but top three coaches don't make those timeouts and challenges.
No, like, I know the FC Championship wasn't perfect, but overall, you can't deny how much they've won with him. Like, I still think he's a really, really, really good head coach.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he's just scared me, man.
That's fair. That's fair. But I don't think we need to have that conversation as he's going to the Super Bowl. Like, if they lost that game, then we could be like, then I would open that conversation. I think Tyler might too, but
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought he gave him a good enough shot to win the game. I mean, the challenges were not good, but I don't know.
Some of the third down play calls I wasn't a fan of either.
You're never gonna have a perfect game. You're always gonna pick and choose in certain games. Like, you're not gonna agree with every single play the guy's gonna call, obviously, yeah. And that's with any coach. But overall, I'm usually always pretty much impressed with Sean McVay with, like, most games that he calls.
Me too.
I think he's one of the better coaches. I don't know if I think he's top three. I think he's one of the better coaches in the league. I really do.
I also think he's, like, top three, top five. But
can I have one final point on that?
No, yeah, Grant, we didn't mean to interrupt your talk. You can keep going.
I was happy for the discourse, but if Matthew Stafford gets picked off late in the fourth, if that ball is caught, the Rams have zero timeouts. And it's the Niners run the clock. Like, I'm not saying that's Stafford's fault, but you got to have a timeout.
Stafford caught a break with that pick. It should have been intercepted, but they caught a bit of a break and ended up winning the game because of it. But
they dropped two touchdowns, especially the one in the end zone, the 53-1 to number 18. I can't say his name, the special teams guy. He dropped a clear touchdown that was wide open, and he just dropped it.
Yeah.
It was a dot by Steph.
No, it was a beautiful pass.
I kind of just minus him out. It's like that interception and that's fine.
But if you gotta be mindful that you're in a close game and save some timeouts.
Yeah, like, I agree. The first one was really bad because I don't know who told him to challenge that one. Even the second one, when they showed the second view, is like, oh man, his elbow was clearly down. So I don't know, dude. Yeah, they were questionable challenges, definitely.
What else did you want to mention, Grant?
I think it's cool, like what you guys said with veteran Matthew Stafford and technically a rookie Joe Burrow. Hasn't even played a full season in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, can I dunk on the Chiefs again? Because
yes, you can.
Oh, man, that felt so good watching them blow that lead, getting greedy on the 5-yard line with a couple seconds left in the half. Could have taken the points. That's a completely different ball game. And here they are, golfing or making
whatever they
TikToks,
want to do.
Crying, I don't know.
Right, I was just gonna say making TikToks.
I was so happy. Like, you guys have Stafford more than I have Stafford, but this was my Super Bowl. The Raiders aren't in it, but this was watching the Chiefs blow it. After everyone, like, going into halftime was, oh, cool, time for a nap before the Rams game. And just watching the Bengals come back, led by Joe Burrow, just what a phenomenal day of football.
The Bengals deserve an apology from, I think, everybody, including me. Like I said earlier in the show, last week I took the Chiefs, and I said I was going to take them big because I didn't think the Bengals were going to beat them again, this time in Arrowhead. For the AFC title. Like, I just didn't see it happening. Especially when the Chiefs took that big first half lead. I was like, God, jeez, yeah. I think this is how we all thought it was going to go. But then the Bengals, like I said earlier, from the 2-minute warning in the first half, they outscored the Chiefs throughout the rest of the game. 24-3 in Arrowhead. That's insane.
I did say the Chiefs-Bengals game would be an absolute boat race. And I owe everybody in Cincy an apology. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Bengals beat the Chiefs twice in the season. Oh, man, couldn't have written it any better.
You know, there's no, unless you're a division rival to one of these two teams, but there's no enemies in this game for me personally. There's no Chiefs, Packers, Bucks, Patriots, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes. Like, there's no teams I don't like in this. There's no players I don't like in this. These are two likable, enjoyable teams. That's why I'm really, really excited for this game.
But with that being said, go Stafford.
Go Stafford. Go Joe. I'm going to be so happy watching this game. It's literally two teams that I would love to see win. Obviously, I want to see Stafford win more, but I'm going to be happy
for Tony,
it's the
32nd pick if he wins the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that narrative, can we call that narrative dead?
It's not dead yet, Grant.
Oh, 31's God, better than 32. Come on now.
Oh. Trade up and get the 31st if it means that much to you.
Grant, that's extra draft capital you have to trade.
Oh.
Oh, my bad. I bet you, like, you could give the 32nd and a 6th rounder for the 31st. It's that important. My goodness.
All jokes aside, I was done having that conversation a long time ago. But
I was done having that by week.
I know.
Week
I know.
13, week 12, I maybe week 1.
I know.
When I saw Stafford cook the Bears.
I know. But hey, regardless, to wrap up this week's show, again, we're happy for Stafford. We're happy for Burrow and the Bengals. I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for next week when we give our Super Bowl predictions.
This is the most excited I've ever been for a Super Bowl.
It's like, fresh. Ever. Like I said, it's fresh. It's refreshing. That's good. It's good to see two new teams in there. The NBA Finals were a heck of a lot of fun with two new teams, so hopefully it's the same for this game.
Yeah. Just the NFL, like you know, it's one game, though, which makes it like absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. But with that, gentlemen, really good show this week. I'll see you next week when we make our Super Bowl predictions, as if I don't already know where Tyler's going to go with his pick. But with that, for Grant Richards and Tyler Sawa, my entire crew, my name is Tony Dabrowski. Thank you again to Roast Summer for sponsoring this episode. We'll catch you all next time.
Be positive.